B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I mean, Paul George ever had no historic playoff games or wins and things like that. Or he hasn't really carried his team to, you know, no significant heights. I mean,
Look, I'm not a huge Paul George fan by any means, but in terms of, not that you're attacking the man's value, but
no, I'm not attacking his value.
Yeah, but I'm just saying now's a bad time when an NBA team is looking at it as to be worth up to like 8 draft picks. The NBA has a high opinion of Paul George.
Oh yeah, they definitely have a high opinion of Russell Westbrook, $47 million.
Yeah,
but my thing is to call the guy a loser, and then I like.
No, hold on, real quick, Joe. I don't think we were calling him a loser. I think what we were saying was his style of play might not be conducive to winning championships.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people comparing him to Allen Iverson. I think, me personally, Allen Iverson was a way better shooter than Westbrook. I mean, they played the same game, but Allen Iverson did not chuck up bricks like Westbrook did. I mean, I think to his fault, that's his thing that, I mean, he really got a brick streak in him. And Allen Iverson did not play with nowhere half the talent. He had never had a player half the talent. Have as talented as Kevin Durant, Paul George, or even James Harden coming off the bench.
Yeah, I hate those comparisons.
I think they're
very different players.
Allen Iverson never played a player in his half his caliber. When he was here, I mean, people don't understand that. The team they went to the championship with was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was put together, a nice put together team, and that's as best as they got for him while he was here.
Other than volume shooters, that's the only comparison I'll draw between Russell Westbrook and Allen Iverson.
Oh, yeah, definitely volume shooters, but AI is he got way more shots. Go
on.
He's a big shot maker and a big shot taker.
My man. Hey, Joe, do you have FanFest tickets?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you do? My man.
Good man.
All right, we'll see you there, Joe. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. And right now, I got to tell you, the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And on the line with us right now, from the wonderful people of Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, don't forget about how great they can be with Minimally Invasive Spine Institute. Their Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics, minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit rothmanspine.com. And on the line with us right now, Mr. Adam Schefter from ESPN. Good morning, Mr. Adam Schefter.
Mark, Trey, Bob, Philly, how is everybody doing post July 4th?
Great.
Well, everyone's good. Everyone's feeling great.
Have all my digits. I'm good.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I was talking about this with my wife because on the day that the Dolphins defensive tackle Kendrick Norton unfortunately and tragically lost his arm, left arm in an accident, she said, is there something like every July 4th? And I said, it sure seems like it. Like, there is something that usually goes wrong around that holiday. And I will also say that this seemed to be a quieter holiday than most. There's usually more mess-ups and screw-ups along the way. But this time, unfortunately, we heard the news about Kendrick Norton. But if you go back over July 4th weekends, I mean, there are people arrested, there are people shot, there are people in fireworks accidents, there are people in all sorts of things that you would never imagine. And it just, to me, if I'm talking about an NFL player the week of July 4th, it's bad news. It's just bad news.
That's why we're not going to ask you about any Philadelphia Eagles. We don't want you talking about them this close to the holiday.
Well, again, you don't want to be talking about anybody this close to camp. And camp, by the way, believe it or not, opens 1 week from today. The Broncos report to camp a week from today. 1 week from today.
Wow.
Oh, that sucks.
That's crazy, right? Yeah, I had a friend stop me over to see this friend where he's like, in the summer, I'm like, my summer's basically over right now. Like, I got about a week left.
Are they playing in the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, they are. But not only do the Broncos report a week from today, but the Arizona Cardinals rookies report 1 week from today. The Seahawks and Ravens rookies report 1 week from today. So that noise you hear is the NFL coming marching up to your door and getting ready to barge on through because it's getting real close here.
Now, Adam, I got to ask you about a certain player's value because the last 2 years for him haven't been so great. Connor Barwin was in studio with us yesterday, and he's got a great foundation, Make the World Better. He does great work here in Philadelphia. Yeah. He does great work in the community. We love the guy. He's had a pretty good NFL career, but the last 2 years, obviously down years out in Los Angeles with the Rams, and then last year only playing really in, I believe, starting 6 games for the Giants before they started to go young. I don't want to call it a campaign, but he's definitely expressed interest and kind of who wouldn't right now in joining the Philadelphia Eagles again as being a, as he put it, a Chris Long type of player, veteran leader that still has something left in the tank. What value do you think a guy like Connor Barwin has right now in the NFL?
Well, obviously he's still on the street, right? So that tells you something right there. He's only 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he was in Philadelphia from 2016 to 16, I believe. So you're talking about a guy here who, again, I think somebody like that, particularly for a team like the Eagles, if they were to suffer some sort of training camp injury to a passer, I think, at that point in time, that'd be like the first guy that you turn to try to bring in. He's a guy you want to have on your team and you want to have in your locker room. I don't know how much. What did he tell you about how much he has left? You tell me.
Oh, I mean, Trey can play tomorrow. That's what he's told me.
Hold on. Should I be filing that Trey's coming back?
No, you don't have to worry about that.
Hold on. Adam, please tweet that. Sources say Trey Thomas is approaching a comeback.
No.
I got to hear from the man himself, Trey. Is that true?
Oh, no. You don't have to worry about that.
maybe the tweet should be, sources say Trey Thomas is considering a comeback. Said Thomas, no, you don't have to worry about that.
There you go.
Thomas finally denied the rumor.
Well, what's he going to say, Adam? No. Connor told us that he's got plenty. He's, like you said, he's 32 years old. He still sees himself playing for a few more years in this league before he wants to hang it up. He's not close to that just now. He expresses frustration with how things worked for the Giants last year, not just with the team's record, but with the fact that they went so young early in the season and he didn't get to play a lot. So he still feels like he has a lot to offer the game, especially when it comes to that veteran leadership type role.
I'm not going to argue with him. I agree with that. And it's the question of, numbers in the 90-man roster and how it fits and how they see the roster. And does he want more than the veteran minimum? I'm sure he probably does, right? So can they do that? Do they want to do that? I mean, there are a lot of just questions you have to ask yourself at this point in time. To me, just on the basis of it, I wouldn't rule it out. It makes sense. It's plausible. And we'll see whether or not that gains any traction here in the coming days and weeks.
So the other thing that we got into a little bit here wasn't necessarily with Connor, but it revolves around that importance of leadership in a locker room. And one of the things, and I'm not saying that you walked into the Eagles locker room in 2017 and you knew from the first day that they were going to do something special. All you really knew was that they had a great locker room already. Like, out of training camp, they just seemed like a really close-knit group of guys. And then they, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl. But Connor talked about veteran leadership. And then yesterday, Lane Johnson comes out on the NFL Network and talks about how Carson Wentz seems like he's got a totally different attitude. Like, everything's blocked out. He's laser focused on the game and, like, basically was gushing over his quarterback. And you could file that under, well, what's he going to say? But how important is that, really? Like, some people think it doesn't matter, but how important is it to have that kind of veteran leadership in a locker room?
I believe that is one of the most overrated aspects that there is in football. Mm. And let me tell you why. Because, again, if your team is winning, during the season, it's going to be a great locker room. It just is. Now, there'll be some guys that, of course, you can't trust and count on, but by and large, if your team is winning, I think most guys are always going to fall right in line, and everyone's going to be happy to be there, and everyone's going to be getting along, and everyone's going to be pleased to be around each other. When you're winning, the building smells better, it looks better, everything seems nicer, and you say, what great leadership we have. And then the minute you start losing, we pinned it back on missing veteran leadership. You know, a team doesn't have the chemistry, whatever it is. I just think those things, look, you need great people in the locker room. And I think we all could agree that this team has a good enough nucleus that you could say if they're going to start winning that it's got great people, great men in the locker room. Now, that is why if they do win, yeah, they're going to be a team that people say, boy, they've got great veteran leadership. And if they don't, let me ask you a question. If this team started, you know, 3-6, do you think we're going to talk about how great this veteran leadership is, how good the locker room is?
Of course not. Of course not.
No. I this is just me, my feeling. I just think that those things are tied to winning and losing, and they become convenient cliches to kind of point to. I think it's important for people to pick the right men who are made of the right stuff in the draft and free agency. And I think we all would agree that the Eagles have more than their fair share of those kinds of guys. They've got the right people. But in terms of the locker room leadership, it just falls right into line whether you're winning or losing to me. That's me.
Shefty, we've been talking all morning about change because the NBA came out and said they're going to make some rule changes where coaches can challenge. So we're talking about change. Is there something within the game or maybe outside of the game about the NFL that you would change?
Well, I've always thought that it's ridiculous that teams have to deactivate players when they're playing them. And I know that the league talks about it being a competitive advantage, that if a team is decimated by injuries, they can only dress 46 players, and that's the way it goes. But you know what? There are teams that lose star players to injuries, and that's a devastating blow, too. And you're paying all 53 guys on Sunday, and it's a tough sport, and it's hard, and the more people you have, the better it is for everybody. Why should somebody who worked all week long all of a sudden on Sunday not be made to play? I never liked that rule, personally. I always thought that everybody should be active on Sunday. And if one team has 10 guys who are hurt, that's the way it is that week. You hope that these guys can get better soon because everybody at some point in time will have a lot of guys hurt. To me, all 53 guys would be active. We would start there, but I mean, there are so many things that I could point to with the league that I would change. So,
how about a rule? How about a rule in game, Shefty?
You know, I'm not a big in-game rule kind of guy, but I have always felt that, and they've started to go this way, that a coach is given 3 challenges, that the coach should be allowed to use those challenges on whatever he wants. If I give you $50 in allowance and you want to go spend $50 on beer, that's your choice. And if you want to go take the $50 and buy $50 worth of mutual funds, that might be a better selection. But you get 3 challenges to use how you want. If you want to challenge a penalty call, that's your right. If you want to challenge a pass interference call that the official threw a flag on, that's your right. 3 challenges. You get both right, you get a third, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, they should not be restricted, coaches, in the way that they get to use their challenges.
Adam, last thing for you here. I want to jump into this because unfortunately we lost the actor Rip Torn yesterday. We just found that out. 88 years old, excuse me. And I want you to rank these movies. And I don't know if you've seen them or not, so I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here. If you could rank these Rip Torn movies: Men in Black, Dodgeball, Freddy Got Fingered. What do you got?
I had not seen a single one of them, so I would rank them Shawshank Redemption, and then maybe The Notebook.
The Notebook is a beautiful
Trey
movie.
Thomas loves The Notebook.
I watch it all the time.
Wait, it was Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank.
Come on over. We'll watch The Notebook. And
no, you can't watch it with this dude. Sorry,
it's a beautiful
Shefty.
Love story.
Yeah,
beautiful
you can't story. Watch it with a dude. Shefty, what was your second movie? I missed it.
Well, Shawshank would be the
right.
one movie
totally.
That I've ever seen. I Forrest Gump came to mind. Forrest Gump would be my top five to 10 movies.
Oh, wow.
Movies.
All right.
I love that. You know, I'll give you a couple other movies that I love. I love the movie Walk the Line.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Yeah, Walk the Line.
I love the movie Ray.
Yeah,
Ray Charles.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was fantastic. Trying to think of other movies that just pop into my head right now. I mean, those are movies that just stand out to me.
You see Shawshank. Shawshank, definitely.
Shawshank.
Maybe I just missed my friend. Adam Schefter, always great catching up with you. We appreciate you coming on per usual. Talk to you next week, brother.
guys, when we get back next week, camps will be open.
Camps will be open. And maybe by then, Connor Barwin will be an Eagle and Trey Thomas will be an Eagle again. So there you go.
And if not, he and I have our feet popped up on my couch eating popcorn and watching The Notebook.
Beautiful love story.
Adam,
Beautiful love story. Thanks,
brother. Take it easy, man.
Take care.
All right. Coming up, one thing that we know has changed in Major League Baseball. But baseball is saying, we didn't do it. We'll come up in a second. We'll tell you what that is here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So yesterday we talked a lot about the juiced baseballs, and that's right, juiced baseballs. We all acknowledge that's happening, right?
I don't know.
No, we have the evidence, Trey. Don't you worry.
Oh, there's evidence?
First off, we have eyewitness accounts.
Has someone cut a ball open and said, hey, this ball has been juiced?
Well, they're saying they've shrunken the seams so pitchers can't get a good enough grip to have enough break on their fastball, break on their curveball or whatever. That's one of the things. Yeah, that's one of the things that they've been saying.
I've heard somebody that knows what they're talking about say that this seems
feel
different.
His name's Ricky Pitalico.
I've heard somebody else, too.
I have a baseball at my desk. I just found a baseball at NBC. And I was like, well, this is mine now. So it's on my desk.
My ball.
And I flipped it to Ricky one time, and he grabs it, and he goes, this ball's like 4 years old. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I can feel the seams. Can't feel the seams on the new balls. And I was just like, look at you.
Ricky. I like Ricky.
He's the best. He's awesome.
I like Ricky.
And he's been talking about juice baseballs and all that stuff for a long time. And now Justin Verlander came out and just called it a bleeping joke. We highlighted that comment yesterday. You have Max Scherzer saying, yeah, they're juiced, but I'm not going to cry about it. But then Rob Manfred comes out last night before the All-Star game, and he's talking about the baseballs. And I believe he's totally BSing us. Now, here's the quote, and I got these from ESPN. Baseball has done nothing, given no direction for an alteration of the baseball. That's what he told reporters yesterday. The flaw in logic is that baseball wants more home runs. If you sat in owners' meetings and listened to people on how the game is played, that is not a sentiment among the owners for whom I work.
For whom?
And then furthermore, is anybody buying that? Like, home runs put butts in the seats. The owners want to see home runs. No. Now,
if it's the training of the athletes? Maybe guys are training differently.
I don't think so.
Okay.
The only reason I say that is because when they're training very differently with steroids, like, you're still breaking Major League Baseball home run records right now. You're on pace for 500 more home runs, more than 500 more home runs than the standing record for home runs in a season in Major League Baseball. 500 more! And it's the second record-shattering year in three seasons.
Maybe bats are better.
Maybe, but nobody's complaining about the bats.
No. You don't look at the ball.
The bats have been changed. Now the guys that like swing toothpicks. They swing
ash, maple. Remember Jimmy Rollins? He gave us a full tutorial.
He did.
Good information
about
on
the
that.
Wood of bats. Yeah. Mark didn't like it, but Trey and I really told
him. I thought it was
we
really
liked
amazing.
It.
About which ones gave? Which ones had the grain?
The flexibility.
The flexibility.
Yeah,
of the
going
bat.
Against
yeah.
it. What's a stronger bat?
I remember
Mark
that.
Hated
Depending
it
on
but
the season.
I thought it was very informative.
I remember because he said all that while Rhys Hoskins was hitting a home run, and they couldn't hear the home run call. He just talked all over about ash bats.
Nah, he was already talking about
that. Totally false.
No, it was correct.
Fake
no,
news.
He broke that.
News,
he was talking about that during within the flow of the game. It was wonderful. The bats are a little bit different, but not like this. Not like the baseball, supposedly. Scherzer, Verlander have already talked about it. But here's the other part, and this is where you want to talk about analytics again? Here's the other thing. Rob Manfred comes out, and he also says that people are getting carried away with the too many home run thing. He goes, let's not forget that our fan data suggests fans like home runs.
Wow. Would you go to a bunch of 10-year-olds?
It's, quote, not the worst thing in the world. It's like, wow, I'm really glad that you have that data. Like, I hope he was being sarcastic when he said that. But, like, right now, you're totally BSing us. We know the baseballs are juiced. We know the ball's flying out of the ballpark at an astounding rate. You bought Rawlings. What more do you need to know than you are literally making your own baseball and making it however you want to make it? Like, you're saying that you're not giving any direction to the to Rawlings? You bought them!
That's amazing.
Did you literally, you bought the company.
Yes.
And I'm not mad at it. Just don't lie to me. Like, I juice the baseballs, do what you got to do, whatever, put the butts in the seats, whatever. Baseball's always going to be a changing game. Hopefully changes a little bit more to the point where they could speed it up a little bit more, right? But, like, when it comes to the home run, yeah, tee off. Let's have fun. Let's watch home runs. You're still going to have great pitchers in the game. Max Scherzer's still a great pitcher. Justin Verlander's still a great pitcher. We're still going to get to enjoy Aaron Nola for years and years to come.
Actually, Scherzer is a freak because he's about to break the record for least home runs allowed by a starting pitcher with however many innings of whatever the criteria was. But he's somehow the opposite in the time of juice balls. Scherzer is allowing nothing.
And that's why he's not crying about it. But at least he acknowledges that, he's acknowledging.
He's just like, I'm too damn good, and it doesn't matter.
I don't care.
Yeah. So you Sally's quit crying out there.
Just make a larger golf ball, and I'll start throwing that one. I don't care. I got Max Scherzer. Deal with it.
More impressed that Ricky could grab a ball and just be like, oh, yeah, this ball is 4 years old.
Yeah, he's like, this is an old ball, basically.
Yeah, this is an old ball.
Yeah. He pretty much had it down to the
year. I could feel it. This is different.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I guess he's thinking within the last 4 years is when they started really juicing the baseball. Now, you had read the article by Jason Stark, who we hope to talk to later in the week, right, Jamie?
Yeah. This was like a month ago, probably, at this point. And he basically was like, yeah, come on. Like, who are we kidding here, guys?
How long ago did they purchase Rawlings?
I think it was just this past offseason. Let me just dive in. It might have been two off seasons ago. Let me check out.
Okay, so that would add up a little bit there. So we're talking about this, obviously, with Rob Manfred, and that the baseballs are juiced, and nobody really cares because people want to see home runs anyway. The only people that are going to complain against it are people that are holding up the record book as if it's going to change the rotation of the earth on its axis.
It was actually just about a year ago. June 5th, 2018 is when it went through.
Oh, really?
And they purchased Rawlings for $395 million.
There you go.
But only a year ago. So they probably would have only applied the balls this season.
Unless
that was mid-season.
Unless they were already changing it anyway. Unless they still had a deal with Rawlings, because it wasn't Rawlings is not going to look at Major League Baseball and be like, yeah, we don't want your business. You know what I mean? Like,
we're going to make them the way we want.
Exactly. So that's not going to happen. So we're talking about that today with the comments being made after a pretty awesome All-Star game to watch. As I've mentioned, I love the guys being mic'd up throughout the game. Listening to the conversation that was being had with Belly and Yelly, by the way. I can't help it. I'm not supposed to like those guys.
I liked when Francisco Lindor was talking about making the umpires reservations at his favorite restaurant in town.
He's the mayor of Cleveland.
Yeah, basically.
But here's what was... This is so weird. They have the stand up to cancer moment.
And Carlos Carrasco, former Phillies farmhand, is suffering from... Was it Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Oh, it's leukemia.
Yeah, which is really sad. So they all the Indians players... It was moving. It was cool.
Without the baseball player, without Carlos Carrasco, who I didn't know they called Cookie, without his involvement, when they do that every year, it is very moving.
Yeah.
And everybody writes a name of somebody affected, because we all know somebody affected by cancer.
Everybody knows somebody. Bleep cancer.
It is emotional. And just watching it from home, it comes across the TV phenomenally well. And it's a really amazing moment every single year. And I think they even do it during the World Series, if I'm not mistaken. It really gets you in the feels, as they say now, right? So they're trying to talk to Francisco Lindor about this.
Yeah.
And he's like, Joe Buck keeps trying to tee it up because they have him mic'd up for the game and they have the earpiece in, the IFB in, Francisco. And like, he's like laughing it up and like talking to everybody else as like Joe Buck's trying to have this poignant moment. And it's like, just give up, Joe. Just give up, Joe. And Joe's like, so your teammate, Carlos Carrasco. And then Francisco Lindor's like, hey, you guys like dinner last night? Do you like the reservation? Was the food good? And then like three other people walk by him. I was like, how many people are on the field right now? How many people are walking by shortstop right now? And Joe Buck kept trying to have this real poignant moment and it just wasn't being had, unfortunately. But I love that feature of those guys being mic'd up and getting interviewed. It's one of the changes in the broadcast I believe they made a year ago. You have the baseballs evidently being changed. We have the rule changes in the NBA where you can now review certain things that you couldn't review before as they're trying to embrace instant replay even more so in the NBA, which I know a lot of people are not too happy about. But the good news in the alterations they're making in the NBA with the rule changes, I don't see how you're benefiting anybody. If I can't challenge something that wasn't called, then where's the benefit?
Yeah, you can only challenge the actual call.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as we talked about before, it's different than football where you have a stoppage between plays. You can look at things, then you can go back to it, whatever. Right. Basketball, it's really tough. And this is why I don't think it's going to be implemented all that much because coaches, I don't know if in the middle of a play, hold on, stop, wait. I think I have to challenge that. Like, how do you go back without disrupting the flow of play?
You can't.
It seems very odd.
This is a very, I guess, ill-advised thing for the NBA to do. Like, it's a try-hard type of moment.
It's almost like an experiment you know is not going to go right, but we can say we did it anyway.
We tried. That's what they're saying. I guess that's what they're trying to do
right?
here.
Yeah.
Because the point I'll bring up here is if you remember the foul call. First off, if you're going to challenge a foul being called, if I'm a coach and you call a foul on Joel Embiid, let's say, right? And then you, no, my guy didn't foul him, I challenge it. And you go back and check the tape, and you just see the slightest bit of contact, you're a ref, you don't want to be wrong.
Right. Yeah, there was contact.
There was contact
it
on the play.
It doesn't look as harsh on replay as it was in live.
Right, so, the ruling on the court stands, I guess.
Yeah.
So then that's that.
The ref, I was right!
Yeah. Just applaud my greatness.
Yeah.
But the reason that you would implement something like this to challenge a foul non-call or call. Now, so challenging a non-call, you have to stop the game, as you just said, Bob,
yeah.
And it's almost impossible. But when you look at a play that happened with Al Horford and Joel Embiid last year, where Embiid was trying to draw the foul on Al Horford, I think it would have been his sixth.
Yeah.
He draws the foul, doesn't get called. Boston ends up going the other way, and I think the Sixers end up losing the game. That's something you would want to challenge and say, whoa, there was a foul there. You can see the foul right there.
No, you can't
do
that.
But you can't do that.
No.
So what's the point of doing what the NBA did?
I don't know. I really don't. And as we were diving into it this morning and I heard it last night, again, it goes back to disrupting flow of play. You can't do it. So if you want to challenge, say, a foul that led to a basket that wasn't called and then you come back down and the other team scores and play's still going and you wait for a foul shot and you say, well, no, yeah, we were wrong. We should have called that foul. Do you take away point? Like, none of it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense as far as flow goes.
None whatsoever.
As far as flow goes.
Bobby, you know, I'm sitting here watching you eat your Skittles. And I noticed that you eat the other colors of the rainbow, but you leave the red and purple.
I'll get to them.
Okay.
I like to eat all the colors the same, Trey.
Okay.
Wait.
That way it doesn't disrupt my taste buds.
So you eat all the colors at the same time?
I rarely eat candy, as you know, but when I do, I eat it in a weird fashion, apparently.
I see. Yeah.
So you gnaw the chocolate off your Snickers bars.
At the bottom.
At the bottom. And you color coordinate your Skittles eating?
I might.
Yes. So you eat the yellow and greens as by themselves?
Yeah, so I've okay. already gone through the. I've already gone through the yellow,
all right,
the greens, and the oranges.
You're a freak. Is there anything else you want to tell us about your candy habits?
You have to save the reds for last because they're the best.
Okay, all right.
Are they
a problem?
Two questions.
I thought they just all tasted like sugar.
Well, there's that, but the coating on the outside tastes a little different.
I guess.
Yeah.
This coming from a man who goes through four packs of Mementos gum every show.
Thanks. I know, but Bobby, that's a little weird.
Two questions, Bob. Where do you buy your Ritalin? And the other question, where do you hide your bodies? That's what I need to know from
this. Kind of a scary movie you just pulled there.
Are you in the show Mindhunter Graf was telling us to watch?
Which I've been enjoying.
You have been enjoying it.
That's a great series. Very awesome. But yeah, I'm just still coming here. I'm like, what is Bobby doing? You just... You ate the
I'm always
the
afraid to eat in front of Trey.
No, it's okay, man. I don't like, want you sure? to have a problem. You know,
it keeps my mind occupied in one way while I have to focus here the other way.
I'm going to HR as soon as the show's over today just to let,
report,
them, like, let them know. And they would probably be like, oh, he's one of those. Okay, hold on. Just fill out this form.
I've heard of them. We haven't met one.
Exactly. That is okay.
Yeah. And does that bother you?
That takes a lot of effort.
You don't have any, is there anything that you, well, you're Italian, so you have food rules that are beyond.
I got one food rule.
You don't eat anybody else's meatballs.
Nobody outside the family, no.
That's not strange.
I'm going to tell you what I do. I actually do this every once in a blue moon. If I'm at a buffet and the buffet has meatballs, I will take one meatball.
Just to go,
just to take a bite and be like, they don't know what the hell they're doing. It just sucks. I swear I do that. Like every once in a blue moon. But no, I just had a bad Skittles experience.
Because you didn't eat them the way I did.
So, no, I was so.
I don't always do this. I don't know why I did this today, but it just came out.
My mother-in-law always puts out snacks, which I'm not arguing. Like, go ahead and do that. That's great.
Like, what kind of snacks? Were you talking like cheese and crackers?
There'll be a bowl of nuts.
Okay.
All right. One time she did bring us a watermelon and cut it up. That was nice. Nuts, chips, tortillas,
you know, it's nice,
hummus.
A little watermelon in the water.
It was very refreshing.
It was very nice.
It was nice. And then she put out what I thought were M&Ms.
Oh, they were Skittles.
I grabbed like a little bit of nuts and I grabbed a little bit of M&Ms. I popped them in my mouth and I went, those weren't M&Ms. Those were Skittles. This is a very interesting,
terrifying experience.
Very interesting flavor.
Skittles have S's on them, Mark.
Yeah, I wasn't looking to read my candy. Okay. I was just like, they who would put Skittles next to peanuts?
That's pretty
good
weird.
Point.
See that?
Yeah. Well, Bob has a fellow serial killer out there. Brian Berkey says, you guys leave Bob alone. He's eating his Skittles the right way.
No, stop. There's no right way.
You separate your flavors. I thought you were supposed to taste the rainbow.
Yeah, literally taste the rainbow. We gotta together, all at once, not color by color. The rainbow, they all work together.
How does Marshawn Lynch eat his Skittles? Huh? If he saw this behavior, he'd go nuts.
Apparently, Derrick Rose ate so many Skittles, he almost got like an ulcer in his stomach when he was like a rookie. I think he got sponsored by Skittles and they sent him like a home machine because it was like his favorite candy in the world. And apparently his diet was so bad that it like screwed up his stomach pretty bad.
All right, we're all better people now. Thank you, Trey.
Imagine eating so many Skittles.
No, Trey, I'm glad you pointed that out because that is
psycho stuff.
You do you. You do you. Right. Speaking of you do you, Sam, do you have some people's suggestions here for what they would change? It's a day of change here.
Yeah, this one's a pretty common one that I feel comes up in the baseball world. Uncle Jay Stan tweeted in, he would take umps out from behind home plate and make it computerized strike zones.
A lot of people have argued for that.
Yeah. So that's a good one, though.
I'm not a fan of that. I honestly don't like that. The human element's part of the game.
Yeah, I'm against dehumanizing the games.
But you would still have like a guy in the field to say like safe and stuff, but right. Computerized strike zone, I feel like they already have it for the viewer to see on the TV. Mm-hmm. Why not just keep it in the game?
The best part of their argument for people that want to computerize the strike zone and have that be balls and strikes is what happens in tennis. Where they actually go right to the review and they see where the ball landed and they could tell whether or not it was in or not. That is something. I just don't like the idea of not having an ump behind the plate. Yeah. I like the human element there. Yeah. Plus, okay. I know, like, for a hitter, a lot of hitters will know an umpire strike zone. And, sometimes it could be inconsistent. But sometimes pitchers also will pitch to that strike zone. I like that element of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good
this
with that.
This one, I like that Dre tweeted in, and we're all pretty tall people, so we can relate. He said that he would change the laws for umbrellas because they're super dangerous for pedestrians over 6 foot, which is so true because I always have to duck them.
That is a good one.
That's a good one for everyday life.
Yeah. So we're taking people's changes. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing throughout the rest of the show here. We're giving away FanFest tickets for people. In a day of change, when you're talking about the NBA making changes that are instant replay, Connor Barnwell was in here. He's got his own Make the World Better, right?
Sorry to interrupt.
What happened?
Burst Bob's bubble here.
What happened?
According to The Independent, the UK newspaper, Skittles don't have unique flavors. They all taste the same.
Oh, no.
Oh, Bobby.
That's wrong.
You come in here with your eyes closed. I'll give you one. Well, I'm down to one.
Well, no, 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 here's what we're going to do. No, we're going to do this.
You're going to taste test?
No, we're going to do a taste test with Bobby.
Yeah, we're doing taste test.
Do we have more Skittles in the machine?
Yeah, we can get more Skittles.
We need to get more Skittles in here. And coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have an official taste test.
They have different fragrances, but not different tastes.
Okay, so get a clothespin. We'll pinch his nose. And we'll have Bob Cooney taste the rainbow. And we'll see if he can.
Can I just eat in
peace? No! No, no. We got
to
help you, Bob.
Thomas.
I'm with you, Bob. Lime definitely tastes different.
I don't know about that.
All right. We've derailed the show.
Sorry.
We're all going to be better people after this. This is a day of change. Maybe Bob will change the way he eats his Skittles.
Let's hope.
No, I don't think so.
Trey, think of the time we'll save the man.
Talk about making the world a better place.
Exactly. We talk about change on this show. So we're asking this question. What would you change in sports?
Bob's taste buds.
Bob's eating habits.
And also, what would you change in everyday life? What would you change in everyday life?
I asked one of my boys. He said his underwear. I phrased it, if you could, what would you change in everyday life? And he said his underwear.
Well, at least
it shows how immature my friends are.
But no, at least it's that. He's a simpleton, as we'll call it.
There's a lot of good ones.
Wide open board for it. If we like what you would change, we're going to give you FanFest tickets, ladies and gentlemen. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you. Time of the Fanatics, 843.
Farzad and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, interesting development in case you missed the last couple of minutes of the show before we hit the break there. We are going to have the Skittles Challenge administered to, who I just found out, Skittles sommelier Bob Cooney. He will be able to tell you if he's got notes of green Skittles with the purple Skittles, you know, all that stuff. Because Sam Wilson is going to administer the test Bob Cooney, the Skittles Challenge, because Bob feels as if he can taste the different flavors of the rainbow individually.
You're going down.
They taste different.
You're going down so hard.
All right.
Now, somebody once challenged me to do the tap water challenge, if I could tell if it was tap water or if it was bottled water.
Oh, you can do that.
And like, piece of cake.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this one tastes like metal, so that's from the tap.
I've done the domestic light beer challenge and nailed it. I was the only one of a group of about 10 people to do.
What were your choices?
It was Coors, Bud, Miller, and one other one. I forget.
I think I could do that.
Yeah, it's a little easier than it sounds.
The soda one is easy, too. Like, we used to do that with Pepsi, Coke.
RC.
Like, RC Cola.
RC's good.
Tab. Yeah. No tab?
Okay. I never got that one, tab.
Is it Frank's?
Thanks.
Very good. So, we're going to administer this test at 9:15.
But no smelling, Bob.
Well, then stay out of here. You're the only thing that smells.
Because that is where the difference is. The smell, not the taste.
I've read research.
Yeah. We've done our homework on this.
I don't smell.
I got to tell you, 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Real quick, I wanted to get into this story here. Speaking of the smell test, did you guys see this story about a criminal that was caught in Missouri?
I thought of Jamie right away.
Oh, the one that... Cliff Lead? I'll let you tell the story.
Allegedly Cliff Lead. Clay County, Missouri. And I was hoping, Trey, that this happened in Florida.
I was hoping it didn't.
Did you see the story?
I have.
When you're playing hide and go seek with your friends when you were a kid, like two things happened.
Did you say hide and go seek?
Yeah.
I never said hide and go seek. It was just hide and seek.
Yeah, no.
Hide and go seek.
Is that how you say it?
When you were little, it was always hide and go seek. You're going to seek.
It was hide and go seek, but we never.
We always said, let's play hide and seek.
Hide and go seek.
Nah, never go. We never did the go. We dropped the go.
Oh, we always go. We always explain
a lot about your skills. Yeah.
And that's why nobody found you, Bob.
You're the one that plays catch.
You're like, hey,
nobody
no,
plays
I don't play
catch. You have a
you
catch.
You have a catch.
You played catch with the servant.
There's a... You play, yeah, with Alfred, your butler.
Yeah, right.
That's your Batman, apparently. But anyway, Clay County, Missouri, they're tracking this criminal who apparently had a warrant out. There was a felony warrant arrest out for him, and he ran. All right? Mm-hmm. He ran. And he had a possession of a controlled substance, it was called. And the police were looking for him, and they're walking by, you know, his house and all that stuff in his yard, and they couldn't find him anywhere. When finally, they heard a very loud fart.
I'm wondering when it hit him, when it bubbled up, he was probably, oh.
Oh, no. Not now, Summit.
Oh, no.
They're going to get me.
Wait. Let me try to ease that. Just a little.
The test. Really?
All right, maybe I can get away with this.
Yeah. And it's just like, I thought it was going to be silent.
And, damn it. Going to jail now.
And he heard about the fart. But so the guy.
Is that ketchup I taste?
That's what. Onion and ketchup. So the guy, he let loose, and the cops were like, what? And they turned, and there the guy was behind the shed or whatever happened. So the guy got arrested because he let loose at the wrong time. When you were playing hide and go seek when you were a kid, and you find that great hiding spot, it was either you immediately had to go to the bathroom,
or you stay there for 6 hours.
Exactly. or you fart and they find you.
Do you remember the show World's Dumbest Criminals?
Yes.
It was great. I used to really like it when I was a little younger. And there was one I remember where a guy was in like the HVAC ductwork, and one of the cops below in like the jewelry store sneezed, and the guy said, God bless you. So that like reminded me of him.
He was so polite. Now come on to jail. And thank you. All right, yeah,
now let's go.
Well, it says here in his criminal profile he went to obedience school. So go in there and sneeze, and odds are he'll say God bless you. There you go. Let's get to Walt. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Walt?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Hey, you guys talking about hide and seek. You played Freedom.
Oh, Freedom was a great game. We played Freedom. We played Jailbreak.
Jailbreak was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't play those types of games.
No?
No.
They were awesome. They were the games that you get outside the neighborhood with all your buddies and go running around.
Yeah. Stay out there all Freedom. Night. Yeah, Freedom was a game that the lunch ladies, like the recess aides in school, like they would tell, like the homeroom moms, they would tell you we weren't allowed to play that anymore because we were getting too rough.
Yeah, that was good, man. They, with the Phillies, now... What will we have to give up the least to get some kind of decent pitching? I mean, I know Brown's probably the only one that you can't get rid of, but I mean, as a pitcher, like we need some kind of pitching to help us out.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. I don't know what they can get. And sorry, Walt, not to get off topic here, but are you sawing something? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm at work. I'm a bricklayer.
And
oh, man. Oh, okay.
Finish it up what I was doing.
Oh, look at, listen to you. You're doing, I can hear your work. You're on point, man. Them lines are straight. Here's the deal. We were talking about this yesterday, and it was like, there's no one really in the minor league system that you want to part ways from. Mickey Moniak is a number one overall pick. I don't think they want to move on from him just yet, especially if he's starting to turn it around.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.